I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and it's good to have you with us. After Simone Biles first announced she would not compete in the team finals, The Takeaway reached out to former USA gymnasts for their reaction. And although she was unable to join us on air, 1996 team gold medalist Dominique Moceanu sent us a statement regarding Biles' decision. It reads in part, quote, "Competing at such an elite, world-class level can take a toll on the mind and body. It's sometimes easy for people to forget that even a GOAT athlete like Simone Biles is still a human being." GOAT, of course, means greatest of all time. After Biles decided also to step back from the individual all-around competition, Moceanu tweeted this, quote, "I was 14 years old with a tibial stress fracture, left alone with no cervical spine exam after this fall. I competed in the Olympic floor final minutes later. Simone Biles' decision demonstrates that we have a say in our own health, a say I never felt I had as an Olympian." Talking with me now is someone who's familiar with the pressure placed on young women in sports to succeed, Chloe Angel, a contributing editor at MarieClaire.com and author of Turning Point, How a New Generation of Dancers is Saving Ballet from Itself. Chloe, it is so lovely to have you with us.
I'm so thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, you were a fairly serious gymnast yourself. What are some of the things that you saw firsthand and some of the fears you had?
One of the reasons why gymnastics is a sport that is so popular among young women, young girls, young people in general, is that a lot of us didn't really understand concepts like physics and paralysis. A lot of us really didn't understand just how dangerous the things we were doing were and could be. And one of the things I found as I got older, and older by gymnastic standards means like 12 or 13, is that we were really risking head and neck injury every time we competed, every time we practiced. When something's not right in your mind, when you aren't sure that you really have what it takes, you know, as you take off to land it safely, to complete it safely, it can be devastating. And I do want to say, just because there isn't a risk of catastrophic injury doesn't mean you shouldn't feel free to take a day off. You know, things should not have to rise to that level in order for a gymnast of any level, including the greatest of all time, to say, I'm not in the right headspace for this and I shouldn't have to take risks in front of the entire world because that's what's expected of me.
I kept thinking about this language of the twisties, as Dominic Dawes called it, balking. Is that an experience that you ever had?
Yeah. It is one of the scariest experiences I've ever had, and 20 years later, I still have nightmares about it. Balking is one of the most dangerous things you can do in gymnastics, apart from all of the other dangerous things you can do. All of the other dangerous things are intentional. Balking is when your brain sabotages you halfway through a skill when you're in the air. I saw teammates break their elbows balking. I saw teammates land on their heads and necks from balking. You know, gymnastics is all about controlling your body in space. And what happens when you balk or when you get the twisties is your brain just stops cooperating halfway through that space. And it's absolutely terrifying.
It occurs to me that as you've talked about aesthetic athletics, right? In other words, not only do we want to see these gymnasts complete these extraordinary feats, we also want to see them do it and look like they're having a fun and have them smile, have them make us feel good about watching it. It feels a lot like ballet in that way. And I recently read your new book around ballet and the risks and the ways that people push through pain. Is this in part unique to young women and our expectations, not only that they do this, but that they do it and look feminine, cute, adorable, and happy?
Or that they relieve us as spectators of any discomfort that we might feel when we think about the toll that this takes on their bodies, on their minds, on their lives outside of the gym. You know, sports are like supposedly about the triumph of the human spirit, but only in the service of winning, not in the service of, as in the case of Simone Biles, like protecting that human spirit. What that really means is that people expect sports to be about, or, you know, in the case of, you know, other athletics like ballet, doing whatever it takes to win, doing whatever it takes to be the best, even if that means breaking yourself, breaking your human spirit, breaking your ankles, breaking, you know, in Simone's case, multiple toes. She's competing on multiple fractured toes right now. And so I think this is a moment for people who care about sports to ask themselves what it is they value and why. And if the answer is, I value the people who do it because they're people, even if that means sometimes I don't get to watch my version of the triumph of the human spirit, pushing through adversity no matter what, that should feel like a bit of a wake-up call.
Is it uniquely American to say sacrifice it all, even your actual physical self, even your mental health, even maybe your life, to pursue your dream?
I don't know if it's uniquely American, but it does feel like it is embedded in the American psyche, this idea that the dream is sacred and anything you sacrifice in service of that dream is acceptable, valid, inspirational even. You know, I saw lots of people comparing Biles's vault and her decision after that vault to Carrie Strug's supposed decision to do her second vault in the Atlanta Games on Dominique Dawes's, on her team. A lot of people look back at that moment in 1996 as a moment, as an inspiring moment, as one that sort of captured the spirit of the Games. And that worries me, you know, the idea that you should sacrifice your chance at competing in college, which Carrie Strug did, your chance of ever practicing your sport ever again, for a gold medal on behalf of your country. That leaves a very, very sour taste in my mouth. So I don't know if it is uniquely American, but I think it is so embedded in the American way of looking at competition and achievement of one's dream that it's very difficult for some American spectators to understand why what Simone Biles did was the right thing to do.
Chloe Angel is contributing editor at MarieClaire.com and author of Turning Point, How a New Generation of Dancers is Saving Ballet from Itself. Chloe, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have you ever pushed yourself too far physically or mentally at work or in your personal life? What toll did that take on you?
My name is Ravia, and I'm calling from Torrance, California. My last 6 months at work were hell because I would push myself to keep up physically with my coworkers, and I didn't understand why I got tired so quickly and why I was left with such long-lasting pain in my body when I did. It resulted in me having to take a lot of extra days off and even coming in late to work or calling in sick because I just simply could not get out of bed. Because of the pain and the exhaustion. After I was terminated for reasons related to this, I was allowed to recover at length at home and sort of grow to understand my physical needs and my limitations.
This is Karen from Covina, California. I was a professional dancer for years, and I used to push my body really hard to get the desired results, but nothing compared to later in my career when I started doing marketing tours and press events. Sometimes I would actually stay awake for up to 36 hours, spending many of those hours on my feet. It is very brutal to do that, and I have suffered a lot of physical and mental burnout.
I'm a nurse in a busy emergency room in the Bronx, New York. I have burnt out from work. I am very tired and don't even want to, you know, take care of my own family. Very depressed. Makes me not feel good in general. It's just very stressful, all of it.
Hi, this is John from Richmond, California. I did overextend myself a few years back as an elementary school teacher, and I needed to step away for health reasons. I found taking time with my family and kids, along with meditating and doing some personal care, was the key to getting past it all.
I had a job where I should have worked with four or five others with the same skill set, but I was the only one with that skill set, and I was grossly overworked. I started having heart palpitations and was prescribed a heart monitor. Then I lost my job, and my palpitations stopped immediately. I felt wonderful, and not having a job and not knowing where my income would be coming from was far less stressful than that job. Life has been nothing but roses since then. And this is Jeanette Briggs calling from Hurdle Mills, North Carolina.
Hi, I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia. When I was younger, I was working on a job where I was being discriminated against due to my gender. So I worked 7 days a week so that I could be taken seriously like the men. This eventually caused me to get a chronic illness that presented itself as chronic tonsillitis and IBS. It became so bad that I actually had to quit my job and move back in with my parents. It also caused me to dip into my worst out of depression and anxiety that I'm still 4 years later recovering from.
I did push myself for many years. I was a dance performer, a dance teacher and choreographer, and worked 8 to 10 hours a day. I gradually lessened my schedule over several years, but I was a mess, sometimes during and at the end of that career. I was exhausted in physical and emotional pain, depleted. Dance was my life and passion, and I'm so grateful I was able to make a living, but it could be very trying. I suffered from depression and anxiety through all of it. My name is Priscilla Regalado, and I'm calling from Richmond, California.
Hi, this is Deborah. I'm calling from Cascade, Colorado. After minimizing an injury that I sustained, I kept pushing myself physically until I was forced to withdraw from a graduate nursing program when I was near the completion point. I've been unable to resume the program despite having subsequently recovered from my injury.
Hi, this is Linda from Oceanside, California. Trying to finish my bachelor's degree while working full-time, taking care of an aging parent, all while being in a dysfunctional and abusive relationship, definitely took its toll on my mental health. I entered therapy and was forced to make some hard choices.
Y'all are so open with us, and we so appreciate you for it. You are all part of our family here at The Takeaway. Call us about anything at 877-8-MY-TAKE. That's 877-869-8253. Or send a voice memo to takeawaycallers@gmail.com.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.